want this to go out on the air for the reason that, you know, sometimes we might know something, but somebody can take it off and use it for the wrong reasons, and I didn't want to do that. But I believe this next part is going to bless whoever is going to be blessed. Did anybody read My Utmost for His Highest this morning?
Yes.
Good stuff, huh?
Heavy.
It should be the best news on your agenda. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to go to Galatians chapter 1.
While you were just praying there, I saw it was a very, very tall waterfall. And the water was cascading, but it was an exceptionally tall waterfall. I'm not quite sure of the meaning, but that's what it was.
Well, living water again.
Mm.
So there, that means cleansing for those who have need of cleansing.
And with your idea with what you were saying, and I'm experiencing it right now, because there's people that are caught up in dogmas.
Yep.
Dogmas are not of God. Mm-hmm. It's not man-made rules and regulations to survive and make themselves holy. And when the truth comes, they're scared to change their ways and follow because they're more worried about, well, we have the association of these churches and this and that. What's going to happen to that? What if it's for God for it to fall because it's not right before Him? Let it fall. Let God do what He's got to do. They're more worried about the little clique and the little association and who they're associated with than to follow and get away from what they realize that is not right.
Well, you have many in, I would call it churchianity, if you wish.
Yeah.
Okay? Churchianity is not the revelation of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit interjects and comes in, but in churchianity you have a lot of people, let's say, bowing to instructors, and they really believe they're right. And I can remember the Holy Spirit showing me that in that time slot where He was teaching me on that level, it was the same in Jesus' day. He tried to tell the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the high priests and all of them, you know, you're off center, and they just couldn't receive it.
But when you don't have the Spirit within you to guide you, you have been indoctrinated for so many years
by
being brainwashed. I mean, you it's so embedded in you that your belief.
Yeah. Absolutely. And if you really believe, now you take St. Paul as a perfect example. He's on a quest for God. He's serving God. He's serving the Most High as far as he's concerned. And don't let anybody get in his way, including these yo-yos that call themselves the way. You know, and I mean, I'm going to get rid of him and put him in jail, and, you know. But God knew his heart. And he knows yours and my heart. But he knows the hearts of those that are also serving him with full gusto. Okay?
Well, if you look at it, what feeds and what creates discrimination amongst humans.
Same idea.
Ignorance. Fears.
And what they
that were fed by somebody else.
Yeah, that's it.
And was basically pounded into them.
Yep.
As a truth.
But you see,
and they don't know how to let it go.
Yeah, right? But why do you have the awareness? What is the purpose of God giving you the truth? What is your job?
Not to fall into that.
No. Your eyes have been opened. And when Jesus' eyes were showing all of the deception in Israel, what did he do? He cried for them.
Right.
He cried for them, and yours would be the same. Start crying out for them. Remember, Pastor Jay was here last night, and that was one of the things he pointed out. Call for those who are ready to weep for those who are lost and deceived. Cry out to the Lord. Ask God to give you his tears for these that are in deception. And as you cry out and as you weep for them, the Holy Spirit will begin to activate and deliver them. And that's what you want. Because if you argue back and forth, you get nowhere. Somebody has to humble themselves and ask God to forgive them. Jesus asked God to forgive you and me when we were falling apart, and he set us free. So your priesthood is being developed when this kind of stuff is in front of you. Your priesthood will definitely continue to grow as you mature. And David was an intercessor. You can look at Daniel as a perfect example, the first chapter. Here he is, he's crying out for forgiveness for the ancestors who screwed up. Okay? Now let's go to Galatians 1. Verse 15 and 16, it says, when it pleased God to reveal his Son in me. Now I want somebody to read the Amplified on that.
When he who had chosen and set me apart, even before I was born, and had called me by his grace, his undeserved favor and blessings, saw fit and was pleased.
Saw fit and was pleased. Go ahead. To reveal?
To reveal, unveil, disclose his Son within me, so that I might proclaim him among the Gentiles, the non-Jewish world, as the glad tidings gospel. Immediately, I did not convert.
Yeah. I don't want to go any further. I just want to concentrate on the beginning of that. Okay? So, when it pleased God to reveal his Son inside of me. Now, most people, when we're reading the Bible, we're reading the Bible and it's like somebody else's newspaper. Okay? When it's a letter written to you, what happens? Donna? Because you read this already.
Yeah. You might not think you deserve it. What is that?
Ah-ha-ha. Cool. So the thinking goes into action. Right? And so, now, are you going to remember what we talked about a little while back about we're made up of three parts, spirit, soul, and body. Okay? And when we realize the triology of our soul, mind, will, and emotions, you can see the first reaction is from the soul. Coming up right away, saying, well, you don't deserve this. You know, why would Jesus Christ be revealed in you? Why would Jesus Christ be really present, number one, inside of you? So, what is the accuser saying? It's no different than when he said, if you take from that tree of knowledge of good and evil, you're still going to make out. You'll know for yourself what's right and what's wrong. You want to bother with God. I mean, after all, he's so busy. He's got so much going on. So I don't really need the tree of life. I can get along on my own. I can do this on my own. I can survive on my own. Yes, you can. But you're going to have a marvelous struggle. Even as a born-again believer, the great majority of the church do not believe this one comment. If you'd ask most believers, born-again, spirit-filled, is Jesus Christ alive inside of you? They'll look at you like if you've got six heads and about 20 horns. Am I the only one that believes that?
No, I do.
Yeah. Because the first thing you're going to do is, if they are not 100% sure, or they're going to start questioning.
Yeah. And when they question it, they would probably say to you something like this. Well, if Jesus Christ is alive in you, then you shouldn't be acting the way you act.
True.
Yeah. First comments.
That proves to you and me that we're still in our soul.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're still working out of our minds, will, and emotions. We're not in the spirit yet. The Am I accusing anybody? No, absolutely not. I am not accusing anybody. If I did, I'd be accusing me. So it's not you're wrong and I'm right situation. It's the unbelief that I believe God wants to expose. Mm-hmm. And when that unbelief is actually brought out to the surface, then you can begin to do something with it. It's like my sister loves to do mighty things in the kitchen. Oh, come on, Evan. I've been to your house. I've tasted those goodies. Don't give me maybe. I know, because I've tasted. And I've gone to some nice restaurants and hotels, but I can tell you that the quality of that woman's cooking is A1. Okay? Now, do you notice that she kind of shied away because she doesn't realize maybe how great she is and the talents that are in her?
Wouldn't you like to pick on someone else?
No! I'm not really picking on you. I'm letting God's people know that the anointing for cooking is in you. That ability to put things together, especially in the bread family, they're awesome. And I'm picking on you because I've tasted. Okay? I've tasted more than once. So, you know, it's not picking on you. It's letting you know that I'm aware that the anointing in you to do those things is superior than most. Now, right away, you kind of, no, you know, I can pick on somebody else. No, it's not to pick on somebody else. It's to realize, and I'm not trying to, make anybody jealous. That's not my point. What I'm really saying is you have a gift inside of you that can be really respected. I want to pick on this guy that's over here. Okay. He also has a gift inside of him. And when Dr. Bob does certain things, he has an ability to slip right into your heart and pick you up. I've watched it. I've seen it. I've told him about it. And he kind of does like you. Pick on somebody else. But you know, that's a special talent that he has that's been given to him by God. You have a special talent that's been given to you by God. Okay? He's revealing the wonderful attributes of God when you cook. When this man gives out love, it radiates to the other person. And he's not doing anything that doesn't come naturally. It's just pouring out of him. Okay? So why am I saying this? Because I'm trying to show you what we talked about the other day. Everybody in the world needs Christ Jesus in you. Those are gifts from His Spirit operating in specialty. Now, I'm not picking on just you because Judy's the one that, you know, she's the comedian. Okay? God has given her an ability to turn just a couple of words and make everybody kind of lighten up and, hey, have a joyful day for a change. Well, am I wrong?
No.
Is it okay to pick on Judy? Yeah, just don't pick on me, right? I am not picking on anybody. I'm just trying to show you. You know, and I see some of the things that are in me. And I see the ability to just kind of sweep these people together and make them see each other. That's in me. Donna, your ability to just let go and be a free dancer was exposed the other night. Mm-hmm. Okay? And it was exposed by God's Holy Ghost. So, you know, you can do that. Gail, of course, we know she's a teacher. Nobody wants to follow her. After all, Gail has an anointing she can teach. Yeah, but you understand? She's got that gift. Am I picking on her? No. Got another evangelist over here next to me who wants to really let the way of God into the hearts of those that are struggling. And those that are deceived, he'd like to kind of flip them over and say, let's get you done on the other side like a pancake. Am I wrong? So you want to fry a few people. It's okay. Why? Because Jesus was bold. Okay? I can remember. It was a Sabbath day. And the scripture says that a man with a withered hand was in a room like this. And all of the teachers of the synagogue, okay, they're all sitting there. Talk about somebody with an evangelistic anointing on him. He says to the man with the withered hand, would you please extend your hand in front of everybody? Right? And then he says to the hand, I command you, I forgot the words he used, but anyway, the miracle took place. What do you think happened to all these teachers that have been saying, you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath day. You're not supposed to do this. This is horrible. He could have probably been accused of witchcraft. What else? He was accused of being a devil. He was accused of being everything under the sun.
They probably got angrier.
Well, when I had that experience with my mother. One day I was sitting at the table, and I ran my mouth, and I ran my mouth. And the thing with me lately is that when I was growing up, and I would question, or I would see something that was morally wrong, and I would say this, the first thing they tell me is, smack me over the head with something. Shut up, how dare you, what are people going to think? You have no right to disrespect these people. They're older than you. But it's wrong. So all my life I was getting beat over the head for saying when I seen somebody that was wrong, telling them, don't you do that. He's a doctor. What is his main love about being a doctor? Helping the broken. Mm-hmm. Fixing the broken.
Yeah.
Right? Taking care of the needy.
Yeah.
God used the doctor to help him that to grow. Your secular job has, if you look at it, sometimes Satan tries to take away from you that job, that work that God had intended for you, so that you can grow, so that when you come into the kingdom, you can use it spiritually. You've been gifted. You were able to go ahead and be a teacher and grow as a teacher. But now it's not your turn to teach in the secular anymore. Mm. Now you're being taken to your next step
in the kingdom.
But guess what? You were being trained.
Mm. Many, many times when I look at how he's worked with me, and most of you I know quite well, I say to the Lord, okay, how do I get them to see Jesus within them? That's my goal today. Get you to see Jesus within you. Get you to see the attributes of the lover of human creation that's literally sitting right inside of you. And the next level of this word is to show you what he did for us. So I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes, because I think if you take this in with your eyes closed, it'll go in a little deeper. When it pleased God to reveal his Son in me, if Jesus Christ is to regenerate me, what is the problem he is up against? I have a heredity I had no say in, meaning your background, your weaknesses, etc. I am not holy, not likely to be. And if all Jesus Christ can do is to tell me I must be holy, his teaching plants despair. But if Jesus Christ is a regenerator, one who can put into me his own heredity of holiness, then I begin to see what he is driving at when he says that I have to be holy. Redemption means that Jesus Christ can put into any man the hereditary disposition that was in himself. And all the standards he gives are based on that disposition. His teaching is for the life he put in. The moral transaction of my part is agreement with God. The verdict on sin in the cross of Jesus Christ. Take a deep breath. Let it go. Say, Holy Spirit, I need to comprehend what that means. And I can only wait for you to make this truth a reality for me. Take a deep breath again. Father, I ask for the gift of revelation knowledge to come in, and the gift of your Spirit to enlighten their hearts that this is a truth for each and every one of those that are listening to this message. Again, deep breath. We receive you, and we thank you, Lord, to open our ears and open our eyes and our understanding of our hearts to really comprehend the next level. The New Testament teaching about regeneration is that when a man is struck by a sense of need, God will put the Holy Spirit into his spirit. I repeat. When a man is struck by a sense of need, God will put the Holy Spirit into his spirit. His personal spirit will be energized by the Spirit of the Son of God. Until Christ, or until the Anointed, be formed in you. I remind you that Jesus Christ was called the Anointed One. That's what the Messiah is. So I repeat now. The New Testament teaching about regeneration is that when a man is struck by a sense of need, God will put the Holy Spirit into his spirit. And his personal spirit will be energized by the Spirit of the Son of God until Christ is formed in you. The moral miracle of redemption is that God can put into me a new disposition whereby I can live a totally new life. When I reach the frontier of need and know my limitations, Jesus said, "Blessed are you." We usually cry out, "Oh, poor me!" So out of our spirit will come the anointing of the Holy Ghost to say, "Blessed are you." But I have to get there. God cannot put into me a responsible moral being, the disposition that was in Christ Jesus, unless I am conscious I need it. Would you repeat with me? Say, "Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
I am beginning to see more and more the need of your Spirit,
to regenerate me
in the places where I see I'm weak,
to redeem my weaknesses
by the presence of your Spirit, so that I can mature
and be the man and woman of God
that you've called me to be." Take another deep breath. Father, again, let's go a little deeper. Just as the disposition of sin entered into the human race by one man, so the Holy Spirit entered the human race by another man. And redemption means that I can be delivered from the heredity of sin. Through Jesus Christ, can receive an unsullied or unsoiled heredity vis-a-vis the Holy Spirit. So instead of looking at my heritage in the flesh, seeing all the weaknesses of my family being passed on to me, now I can switch my gears and begin to look at what I have received through the anointed Son of the Most High God. breath. Say, every weakness I had.
Every
part of the sin nature that I had.
That I inherited from my mom and dad.
Every one of those weaknesses.
Jesus carried on the tree for me.
He used those weaknesses as a way of being swallowed up.
Every sin in me.
Every demonic trick.
Was swallowed up.
When he swallowed death.
And rose from the dead.
He took every weakness.
He took every sin.
Every attribute of sin,
and all the guilt of sin,
and he took it in his own flesh,
and he opened the way for me
to have a brand new identity.
Corinthians 5:17. Declare it.
I am
a brand new creation.
I'm not the old anymore.
When I concentrate on the old,
I'm still falling under the old anointing.
Of the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Christ is being formed in me.
As I submit and let him come in.
This new heredity
of perfection and righteousness
is hard to put on.
Because my mind argues.
My emotions scream.
But the Holy Spirit has got an awesome job.
He won't let up until I be perfected.
And I look just like the firstborn son.
Romans 8.
I am
following.
In the footsteps
of the firstborn son.
He is the first of many brothers.
Now I'm going to attack some of the unbelief in you. Keep your eyes closed. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
You did not give me any spirit of weakness. And my Heavenly Father's never been sick.
He's never been weak.
He's never been in despair.
His attributes are out of this world.
They're in the heavenly realms.
They are so much higher than the old me.
So when I realize
what he's given me through Christ,
this new creation
is beyond limits.
That you just said right now was writing to the word that he gave me about 6 months ago where your life will change suddenly.
When you realize that all those weaknesses he took on that tree, all those hopeless thoughts he took on that tree, all those areas of weakness and doubt and unbelief, he took on that tree. And then he imparted to you, by his Spirit, a regenerated reality. The old man is dead. And the man of the Spirit is alive and well in me. try it on.
The old is dead.
But the new,
but the new is
coming alive in me.
It's
all done by the Holy Spirit.
It's all done by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
When the full payment comes in, and you've been paying on a vehicle, let's say you've had a mortgage or a car that you've paid a little bit at a time, a little bit of each month, there is a day when you can burn the mortgage. Amen?
Amen.
Are you looking for that day to see if you can burn the mortgage on the old creation?
Amen.
Are you ready to accept that He paid the whole debt for your sin? He paid the whole debt for my sin. And He paid the debt for all my weaknesses. Don't have them anymore. You say, well, why am I still sick? Well, check the unbelief box. Check the unbelief box, because that's really where the problem lies. Is, you know, I'm probably still in hoping to get healed. And I'm just as guilty as the rest of you. I'm not accusing anybody. I'm just trying to tell you. And the Holy Spirit says, you know, if you've got a weakness, give it to me. If you've got an infirmity, give it to me. I know how to set you free. I know how to keep you and take you higher. Say, every weakness.
Every weakness
is totally temporary. Until I give it to the Lord. And He recreates
everything I need
by the Holy Spirit.
By the Holy Spirit.
Right inside of me. Because He's not working from the outside, He's inside.
Amen.
Let's look across from each other. Say, we're in agreement.
Amen.
That Jesus Christ,
that Jesus Christ
is fully alive and well.
Is fully alive and well.
Right inside of me.
Right inside of me.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Can I say a little?
Or you can, just Judy had her hand up, so let's give her a chance. Be very careful.
You know, let me go first, but
it's hard to, get up to that level. But.
She's on that other plane.
Yeah.
We want her to have a chance here.
That's a little too high for me. But I love it, though.
Thanks for making me forget.
It's impossible.
Anyways, if we stop focusing, this is my perception.
Yes.
If we stop focusing on our problem and what we want from the Lord, well, I need to get healed, I need this, I need that, when I'm perfect, you know, I'll do whatever. But if we seek Him and that intimate relationship with Him, get to know His heart, what He wants from us, and eventually all these other things that love affair develops to such a point that you don't care, you'd rather, you want more of Him, and if He never heals you, that's fine. But when you get to know Him that intimate, then you just believe that He's going to do all these things for you. I mean, it just happens. You know what I mean? It just happens.
I think Pastor Jay's comment last night is when you take communion, when you break that bread, and you take that cup, and you say, okay, God, I've been so connected to this tree of knowledge of good and evil. Would you just cut that off for me? Just pull it out of me. Take it out. I don't want it anymore. I want to be connected to the tree of life. And when I connect to the tree of life, life will finally bring in all kinds of fruit. And I'm going to start enjoying what Jesus Christ has already given me inside of me.
And you know what I find is, like, sometimes you ever say, oh, I'm going to go spend the morning in prayer. Okay. And I am going to get into the Spirit, and I'm going to whatever. And then you get into...
I'm not is she doing meddling with you?
I don't know. I'm into what she's saying. I always do because it's great. But
anyways, what was I saying? But then you get into your prayer closet, whatever, wherever you go to be alone, you know, and it's like, okay, where do I start? And you do it. Okay, let me put on a tape. Okay, and then you're there, and it ain't happening, and you're going, hello, Lord. I want to, you know, get into the Spirit, help me here, whatever. But I find that when you start with communion, it just happens. All of a sudden, he's there, the presence is there, and you'll be there all day if you know.
Yes.
It opens the Spirit to, you know.
And what you're saying, and it's wild because what you're really saying is, get off the system, get off the systematics, the man-made, trying on me, put it together, because this is the way I should do it,
right.
Because, but then what you forget is that you can't do what belongs to God.
Yep.
What else?
Can't do what belongs to God.
No, that's God's job to do.
That's right.
You know? And that's the word he gave me a few weeks ago. He says, Kim, you're a perfectionist. Of course, I got it out of the intense place that only God could choose to talk to me. Would you believe?
Thank you for sharing it with us.
I did. But I want to make sure that, you know, my brother knows.
Yeah. I'm sure he can't.
A fortune cookie.
Oh,
I break it open.
Surprised.
I break it open because the Lord said, there's a message for you in this fortune cookie. Now, as far as the religious world says, don't open the religious cookie or the Chinese cookie because that's witchcraft. But the Holy Spirit said, open it up. So I opened the little fortune cookie. I'm all alone, right? And I read the thing. I started to laugh. I mean, I'm all alone. Totally. Laughing my hair off. God, you're absolutely right. I am a perfectionist. I know it. He said, I'm not looking for somebody that's perfect. I'm looking for somebody to perfect.
90% of the stuff that are in fortune cookies comes from Confucius.
But who cares where he comes from?
And they're just words of wisdom.
Right. Well, that's what it was. It was a wake-up call.
If you were to open a fortune cookie every day to
find your future,
that,
right.
See what, you know.
That would be witchcraft.
Yeah, that would be witchcraft, and it becomes an idol because now that's your focus.
Right.
Right.
You can't. Oh, I got. If the cookie don't tell me, then what's going to happen?
Well, look at those who read the horoscope.
Yeah.
That's what I call them. Horoscopes.
That's what they are.
Yeah, horoscopes.
Fill you with fear.
But if you just right, because the world, even the Christian realm. Oh, you know, if you see the word horoscope, it's like, oh dear, would you come change this site on a computer because I can't look at it, you know? I mean, but what is so wrong if you just happen to pick up the paper, the words, and you read it? I mean, is that the end of the world?
Let's say it this way. To what you focus on, you will become, and it puts seeds of darkness in you. That's what it does, okay? A horoscope is, I think, a lot deeper than opening up a fortune cookie because it's the next level. It's really, you know, trying to form your day on the horror to come.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm talking about like...
Yeah, if you ain't read it for the sake of reading it...
No, but say I opened up the newspaper, which I don't, but I suppose I have at one point, or I wouldn't be talking. And so I happen to be on the page of the horoscope. I go, what's mine say for today? And that was it. You know, I mean, I could care less what it says.
Yeah.
And, whatever. But
well, it goes back to Romans 6:16. To whom you submit to, you become a slave to.
So in other words, you've opened up a door.
You've opened up a door, and it could be leading you into a foreign god.
Okay.
And that's what you're doing. Now, do you stay away from it for the sake of staying away? No. If you happen to read it, it's not going to kill you.
Not the end of the world.
But, you know,
you're
what you're doing
go back
is...
and read it again.
Right. I mean,
reading it,
you know, what happens is many people, oh, boy, this is... Look at this is my best day. I've had this great day. Because my horoscope said I was going to have a great day.
Right, and I know, like, say, one particular person who is such a godly woman, And she was born, she still goes to the Catholic Church, and she does live a wonderful, godly life. But when she really got, she has been to a fortune teller, uh-huh. and, I mean, was so enthralled because of, they were so right, and the faith in them, you know, it's like unbelievable.
So where is she? She's in total deception and
yeah.
has no clue.
Yeah.
So what do? You say, Lord, she's all yours.
Yeah.
And let Christ, the Anointed One, come alive in her.
Oh, absolutely.
Because, you know, we have many religious people. When I say this, I give them the credit for trying to please God. They're really aiming to be focused on the Lord. Okay? When the Holy Spirit took me in, what did He do? He took me out of this system, and He woke me up. He arrested me, knocked me off my horse. Okay? Rest of my case. Gail, you're pondering.
Yeah, I saw a vision about 10 minutes ago. I haven't been able to figure it out.
Maybe you're
right back
supposed
when you,
to. Maybe.
When you started there, and I was having a hard time focusing on your words because I'm seeing it.
Tell us what the vision is.
Normally when I see this, I think it's a volcano, and this is not a volcano. This is like a tent. It's sitting right out in the middle. There's nothing around it. The tent is gold. That was another thing that perplexed me. But there's eruptions coming out of the middle of the tent. Okay, God, so I'm asking and I'm asking.
Where was it?
Just out there in the middle.
Of what?
I don't know. It's just there. It's just there.
Woods? A plain?
Dirt. It's dirt. It's dirt.
Mountains around?
No.
Or just a big flat plain?
You got it.
In the middle of nowhere?
Wow. Ten. And it's gold, and there's eruptions coming out of it. Well, I'm pondering and I'm asking. It's significant that it's gold. And I'm finally getting the word tabernacle.
Yeah, that's what a tent is.
Tabernacle.
And a gold,
that's what I got.
Golden tent?
Yeah.
Wow.
Tabernacle, and it's erupting.
Oh, we're sitting under, and it's about to erupt.
Yeah, that's what it's like. Okay. Golden.
Golden tent.
Yeah.
Golden, I mean.
What comes out of an eruption? What causes an eruption?
Well, this would have been God.
Yeah, but what causes? What causes an eruption?
Just
fire.
It's in movement.
It's actually the earth being on fire, burning fire, and all of a sudden mixed with all kinds of sulfur and so on, and it explodes.
It's the same thing as your pressure cooker.
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
You put fire to it, it builds the pressure, it builds the
so
pressure.
So now you're getting what's happening right now, right here.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because I know this message was given this morning, because I read it, and I said, oh my God, Lord, this is where you're going, right? And He said, yes. And some of you who have this message already, I just know it needed to go deeper.
And it's not a tent that's shaped like this.
Yeah.
This tent has a large opening up on top, so it's got like sides to it, rather than being out like this.
It's like this.
The actual tent of tabernacles was open.
Yes. In fact,
you're seeing an actual tent.
Yeah.
No, it had covering. Which one are you thinking of?
Well, you're saying it's like this, right?
Yeah, but there's an opening up on top.
Yeah, but right. What you're comparing is you're comparing the tabernacle in the wilderness with the tabernacle that they were to construct. At the season of tabernacles, the heavens had to come through. They could put branches.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening or reading some of the articles about the Jewish people in different nations, and you sent it to me. Mm-hmm. And some of them, they put like when they build their little mm-hmm. sukkah, okay, they build it, but it'll have like chicken wire on the top. And from it, they'll put like different palm branches or whatever branches that they have available, depending on the region they live in. And they might hang some fruit, fresh fruit, from there. And the kids, this is part of their fun, you know, they'll come home from school and they'll go picking on the fruit, you know.
Because
but it really represents the fruit of the Spirit.
They haven't got a clue.
Because when they were tabernacling, they were waiting for the promise to be fulfilled. And one of the signs that would say that promise was fulfilled was the star.
Yeah.
If you're in tabernacle and you're enclosed, you can't see the star.
Is that why you blow the shofar, the sign of the first star?
Third star. There had to be three stars. You know, the CD we had the other night, that was so cool because the crowd just erupting was just like when I was at the Wailing Wall. Mm-hmm. It was the same thing. It was like being back there.
The one with Tim Clement.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes! Mm-hmm. Do you know that where he was that night?
Yeah.
He was on Mount Carmel.
Right. Oh, I know that.
Yeah.
Well, what I was going to say before, and for some weird reason, it relates to you too. When you were a child, and somebody said something wrong against you, and you know it was wrong, or it was a lie, it hurt you, right?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't want to accept it.
I didn't know how to fight it, that picture.
Right. But why don't you go back to your childhood and start saying to yourself the same thing you said to yourself when they said a lie, but that's a lie, but that's a lie, that's a lie. And stop caring and accepting the lie.
Mm-hmm.
Because you went from being angry and being hurt because it was a lie. Why are you giving into it? Don't give into a lie.
Well, I've broken down so I don't know how much done.
You know what I'm saying?
But you walk that out, Victor.
Yeah.
You walk that out, and it's a process working that out.
Yeah, it is.
And I'm at a certain point in that process right now that, as I shared with Kim this morning, is a very, very uncomfortable point. And I know what it is. And God has chosen not to release me from that point. For some reason, He's holding me in that point, which I don't like. But the release will come.
All right, but you understand what I'm saying?
I do.
When you go back there... You know, there was a certain point in your life that you accepted the lie. Bring yourself at the time before you did, where you were, well, that's wrong because that's a lie. Because that's when you're going to start breaking it.
There are some things that happen in a child's life that they don't even know it's a lie. That's how young I was. Did not know it was a lie. You know something's wrong, but you don't know what's wrong or why it's wrong.
Because, I mean, I remember...
So you stay in that line.
I remember when I was, and sometimes I God, why do you? I sat right there in front of my mother and I told her, in the month of June, second week of June, around 1:30 in the afternoon, because the sun was here, you walked away from me. I remember when you went ahead and this person came into the house, took my dog, put it on this green Jeep, you brought us to Grandma's house, and you left. You were dressed like this, like this, like this, like that. Why? And my mother's looking at me. I was 2 years old.
Praise God, you got the memory. My God, it's not all my memory banks.
But guess what? My brother, who's older, when I talk to him about this stuff, you're crazy.
That's an anointing from the Lord.
I mean, I remember when, right before we came to the United States in 73, that my mother tried to steal us from my grandmother. And it was a Saturday. My grandmother went out into town to do her business. We lived in the farm. And it was a little bit over midday. We were walking up the hill. I had a pair of brown shorts, black boots, and a little shirt with like yellow, gold, and whatever. It was like a flower kind of shirt. My brother and my mother came and dressed us. And I remember when my grandmother told my mother exactly these words. You have a home. They are your children. You want to be with your children? Go home. Don't take them out into the city. Especially with this one that he'll go ahead and run into the street. And my mother couldn't deal with that. Because she wanted to live her life. And I told my mother this and she's crying. Oh, I said, why? You don't tell me that I'm crazy? Sorry. But you know what? They try to make me feel that I was crazy because they didn't want to hear the truth. No? And someday she'll open up. I mean, I seen my mother try to commit suicide.
Yeah.
I was not even 4 years old.
Really?
No. My grandmother's house was a wooden house with a metal roof.
And I had this bad habit that he had these big old beams, and I would go ahead and go by my grandmother's room, climb up the wooden walls, and climb on the beams, and walk around and watch what everybody was doing. And I'll sit like right in the middle of the house, and nobody knew where I was, and I'm watching everything that's going on. Just being nosy in my own little world. And I see my mother come in. That was, as a matter of fact, that was the first time she came back after she left us. And she came in into with my grandmother's room, our room, and there was the extra room here. She went in there, grabbed a big old bottle of pills like that, you know, like a yellowish-orange container with a white cap. And I know it was about that big. And
that was Pastor Jay. Thank you for the gift.
Home safely.
Thank you for the gift. This is
nice.
He really felt the presence of the Lord last night.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'd like to see that paper that he left on Israel. I was very taken with that.
Yeah, well, I'm going to put them out. I haven't had a chance to.
Right.
I mean, there will be, mm-hmm. You know, all those things will come out, but I want to just kind of run over them. You know.
But it was interesting because, well, you know what excites me is seeing the hand of God in the midst of everything.
Yes.
And he said something last night, which was a scripture that I, whatever, it's like the day before, and he didn't quote this, he didn't say what scripture it was, but I
you knew where it was.
And yeah. I'm saying, okay, Lord, you know.
Do me a favor. Do you lift your hands towards your arm?
Father, we know that you're preparing him for tonight.
Amen.
And we believe, Lord Jesus, that you will just give him an anointing. And whatever he's prepared, just let it be blown away. Whatever you've prepared, let it be blessed. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 You realize what I'm doing, right?
Yeah.
Blowing away all the stuff that he's prepared. But let God use the whole thing. Because the last time he came, he says, I have this prepared, but. So he's going to go on his butt tonight.
Yeah.
I can be on two or three different things that he's showing me. I don't choose. I never pick a subject. That's the messages when it comes time.